Praise God. That is our goal. You know, it's not just about the number of men, even though we praise God for that, but it kind of what Ronnie was saying about being in tune. If you don't tune up, then what did you really do? Man, if you guys show up, that's great. But man, if you don't get anything, my heart would be broken. So I'm so glad to hear that you all are being blessed by what has gone forth so far. And we're going to keep that going. And the way we're going to keep that going right now before lunch is a panel discussion. And so I'm going to ask our four panelists if they would come up, Dr. Dan Hyun, Dr. Larry Anderson, Ronnie Martin, and Dr. Alejandro Malero are going to come up. And these are going to be our panelists today. And we're so thankful for these guys and their wisdom. Guys, I want to tell you a little bit about how the panel is going to go. Just so you know, number one, I want to introduce each one, give each one an opportunity. I know you've already heard from Brother Ronnie today. Some of you have already heard from Dan in his first session. I'm just going to ask the guys just to take maybe 30 seconds just to do a brief introduction on themselves. Ronnie, I know we heard from you, so we'll start from you. You can just tell us what you already told us.
Yeah, man. All right.
Everything's so rushed.
Ronnie Martin, I've been married to wife Melissa for 31 years. Yeah, thank you. We have an adult daughter who lives and works in Chicago. I'm the director of Leader Care Renewal for an organization called Harbor Network, and I'm a pastor and an elder at my church in Bloomington, Indiana, doing the doing preaching and teaching. So that's a little about me. Yeah.
Yeah. Larry Anderson, I'm from Philadelphia, big Eagles fan. I will pray for each of you. I pastor a church in Philadelphia. I'm the director of church advancement and evangelism for the Baptist Resource Network of Pennsylvania, South Jersey.
Morning, friends. My name is Alejandro Molero. I'm one of the pastors at Iglesia Biblica Sublime Gracia in Washington, D.C. I'm from Venezuela for good reasons. And I serve in the BCMD as a Spanish church consultant. If you want some help for your Spanish-speaking churches, I'm here to serve. Been married to Maribi for 28 years. some 20-something years. And we have been happily married, and we have two kids, and I'm expecting my first grandchild for the summer.
My name is Dan Hyun. I get the privilege to serve as the Director of Formation and Health for the BCMD, married to Judy with two wonderful girls. And my short-term goal in life is not to fall off this stool. That's a big, big goal.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much. Let me just say one more thing before we get started, guys. When we were thinking about the panel, man, each one of these guys were chosen. Each one of these men of God were chosen really because of the impact that they've had with both Dan and I in our personal lives. Known these men for several years, or known of them in several years. Pastor Ronnie got to hear and interact with him at a previous conference. Same thing with Pastor Anderson, came and really blessed our pastors 2 years ago at the BCMD gathering. Alejandro, again, great friend, great brother, lots of wisdom. And then obviously, I think a lot of you guys know Dan. But here's the thing, as you can see, there's ethnic diversity represented on the panel, because we know that manhood is not biblically different, but it may be expressed different across different cultures. And so we wanted to hear from different cultures, really. And we know we can't cover every ethnicity in every culture, but I thought it'd be good to have some diversity and to have some variety, right, and thought towards this to help us be grounded in some of this. Now, here's what we're going to do, little ground rules. We do have questions that we're going to ask them. We're not going to come to you guys for the sake of time. As Pastor Ronnie just said a few minutes ago, everything is so rushed. And we know you guys want to get to lunch. And so we're going to ask the questions here from the panel. We hope that you would be blessed by this. But if not, and you see guys around, let them eat their lunch. But you can ask follow-up questions, you know, and if they have time to share with you, they'll talk to you more about that then. All right. Sound good? That's a deal? Yes, sir. All right, good. So if you come up and you try to get to the stage and ask a question, somebody's going to tackle you before you get to the stage. All right, you have the mic. Dr. Alejandro's holding the mic, and I'm going to ask that you pass that mic back and forth. For each of you, hope that each of you take your time answering this. How has your cultural background shaped your understanding of manhood, and where has the gospel challenged or corrected that?
Well, my culture is known to be the macho man. And they have a big mustache and a hairy chest. And they need to be strong and courageous and protect the women and the kids. But they are hiding somewhere. And it might be the man cave, as it was called. And I think the gospel is the solution to know that the real men are weak men. The only strong and perfect man was crucified in a cross. And that's the model we need to have as the perfect man we should follow and picture and try to imitate. At the same time, we as men, Christian men, should be godly men, telling everybody that you could imitate me, not because I'm perfect, because I'm imitating the only perfect man. I'm trying to do my best in following Jesus to be like him.
Culturally, being the provider, the protector, the punisher, meaning you paid the bills and you protected the family, and if people got out of line, you let them know how to get back in line. I think the gospel brings the priest aspect of being the prayer warrior as well, demonstrating love and compassion and passing on that which you also received. And so loving your family well, being a priest at home and leading them in things of Christ is what the gospel has added to what the culture neglected.
Oh man, well I come from an Italian Portuguese background, and you guys have all seen The Sopranos. Well, you probably don't want to admit you've seen The Sopranos. But this is a culture of men who who feel entitled and who feel like they're entitled to be served. And so I grew up with that kind of patriarchy. And so I think coming to Jesus and being mentored by men who served me, again, it was a different vision for what it was to be a man, which is to serve, which is to humble ourselves, which is to count others as more important than we are. But it's been that's been a shift, because that was not what was modeled to me growing up. So the Lord's had to do some hard work in my life, given that reality, for sure. Yeah.
As a Korean American, Asian American, I think one thing I've been processing through is, and you might have heard these in different spaces, very much an honor shame culture. Like honor shame drives a lot of how, as an underlying motif. And one thing about that, when you're talking about honor, it means that your life, you cannot bring dishonor upon through your life, through your achievements, upon your family, your tribe, your culture. So, which I think is a good thing. So very much driven by that. I think the shadow side of that is shame can make transparency very dangerous, because it's all about keeping images. It's better to stay hidden. So at least among a lot of Asian American men I've walked with, the experience, it doesn't feel natural to talk about some of the deeper stuff in your life with others. It's safer to keep it hidden. So for me and others, just processing just the invitation of the gospel that, you know, just thinking about Jesus even, just enduring the cross and despising the shame. That idea of pressing into Christ actually invites us to be able to bring out some of the more hidden things that our shame tells us we have to keep hidden. But to know how he frees us and just to be honest with our stories with one another.
Good. Thank you. So So based on your context, what kind of things tend to compete with or distract men from living on mission?
You want me to start? I can think of many things. I will start with your phone. I'm ashamed of my screen time. My screen time is greater than my prayer time and my reading time. And if that calculation doesn't feel well when I'm known to be someone in public and someone in private. But there is hope. There is redemption in Christ. My wife is a good help because she knows all my passwords. And it's good to have limitations here and here and there. But if we don't take care of our screens time, not only the phone, it's the computer. It's even the Apple Watch. It's my WhatsApp, it's my iMessage, it's my Facebook, Instagram, and everything that is shown through a screen sometimes could be distracting us from the real life. And my mission life should be something that I could take advantage of screens, but don't spend my life on video games, on Instagram and social media more than I'm known to be a man of God through the word, through the prayer, evangelization, discipleship, and to be a man of God even without the screen. I've struggled to Facebook fasting. I struggled to quit my Instagram account because the excuse of using social media for mission was the excuse to keep it. But we need to be aware of our screens time, and just pay attention to our Bible time and prayer time.
Amen. I think one thing I was thinking through is I think in response, there's a cultural movement of toxic masculinity, this idea that men being strong is an unhelpful thing. And, you know, I think there's some wisdom to have to be learned from that. But I think I've observed kind of a response to that in another way. One, I think it's gone to really unhelpful, aggressive masculinity thing that has nothing to do with Jesus, which is this evil. But the other one I think I've seen in response is a kind of a toxic passivity, where too many men in the church, because they don't want to be like that aggressive, mean, they kind of shrink away from any responsibility to lead. And I think it's just owning that, because we need men to lead. Amen? Men are not called to be passive. We need to be leading in the church. But how do we do that in a way that's healthy and honoring to God, but also respectful to others?
I think there's a plethora of things that I can talk about when I'm on my way to church and I see men that's not even thinking about going to church, you know, caught up into women, caught up into the worldly living. Those in the church caught up into money. They will do overtime instead of do anything that calls for them to be in church. So money has become a god that's competing with the Lord. I know culturally also our black ethnicity can become identity, and thus Islam and Hebrew Israelites and other cults that elevate your color versus being made in the image of God can be in competition with who God is. So.
Well, I this is going to make me the most unpopular person in the room, but I think hobbies and don't hate me, sports are a massive thing. Let me just keep the mic down for 1 minute of silence. But I think we, I don't think it's a stretch to say that sports are an idol for a lot of men, and they control their emotions, We make an entity out of entertainment, and it becomes an identity. And that's a big thing, and it's something that's very easy to go. It's not a big deal until you realize that, like, those things that, you know, on their own are good things. You know, entertainment in its proper place is a great thing. It's a gift, but we elevate. The tendency of our heart is always to elevate. And sports and even just hobbies are one of those things that I think men have a habit of elevating to a place where it just squeezes out, you know, the more important aspects of our lives and mission. And so I think it's a subtle danger is what I would say. Yeah.
No, thank you for that. Thank you for that. I want to talk about something real quick because I think those were all excellent. We kind of leaned into things that take our attention and things that we lean into, right? Especially some of the things Dr. Anderson was talking about where you have to give your attention and time to the identity shaping things and things of that nature. But where are some of the areas where you see men drift into passivity? And what does stepping up actually look like in those situations? Where do you see men drifting into passivity?
Yeah, I think one of the basic but vital ones would just be loving our wives. Mm. You know, I heard somebody say at another conference, the Bible never says lead your wives; it says love your wives. It doesn't mean we don't lead, right? It just means that the word there and the focus was to love our wives, to sacrifice for them. Because there's a sense of, you know, passivity is really selfishness. And I think men can have the tendency to sort of fall back into themselves, be comfort driven, be you know, personal desires driven. And then we leave our wives to fend for themselves. And I think it's a problem. I think it's a problem that I see with men. I think it's a problem that I see with myself. And so I think the challenge for us is when we read Ephesians 5, before we jump on that submit line and hand that on a platter to our wives, we should probably take care of the thing that the Lord has given us to focus on, which is to give our lives for them, wash them in the word, and love them sacrificially. I think it's a problem area for us who have fallen into passivity. And we need, I think we need to wake up to that a little bit, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ronnie.
I would lean into that same place, and I think about, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I think me and my household, not just my household, this idea of the man being ahead of the wife, there's a responsibility that I've seen get passed off. I know I've seen so many wives that's the head of the household when it comes to biblical teaching and prayer. Wow. And leaning in. Wow. And I know if a man is not the priest of his home and he's not discipling his wife and he's not discipling his children, is the reason why it seems so strange to do so in church. And so many of our women are leading in church, and it's natural for our men to sit back and watch them lead because they do the same thing at home. A passive man at home is going to be a passive man at church. And we have a bunch of passive men at church.
I was about to say the same thing.
That's fine.
But let me tell you something else. I think we're too busy. Mm. And we're confusing busyness with being on mission, on being in the right spot. Sometimes we lie when we say, I'm too busy, because we suffer of commitment phobia. We don't want to be committed with something, and that's why we're passive. We lack commitment. Being in the Hispanic church, we suffer of the same thing, lack of commitment from men. And sometimes it's because they are really busy, but sometimes it's because they don't want commitment. And we need to battle that.
Good, good. Thank you, guys. So on the flip side of that, what does it mean in real life for a man to be on fire for the mission of God? Not in just in words, but in daily living.
The idea of on fire, I love that because it resonates with, I love that, like, excited, like, mountaintop kind of thing. But I think for me, what's been really helpful is to realize on fire publicly has to start with pretty quiet things in your private life. That's hard for me because no one's seeing it. I realize how much of what I do is for being approved by others, but committing to those disciplines, like Ronnie was talking about this morning, what are the things that even if no one gives you any applause for that or says you're doing a good job, committing to the practices, disciplines, habits that allow you to be on fire in some of the more public spaces for God?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of doing everything with joy. And I think Jesus endured the cross with joy. And it's hard to do. And I think being on fire comes after knowing Jesus, delight in the Lord, and not forgetting any of his benefits.
When I think about being on fire, I think about the person who's actively, daily pursuing the holiness of God, trying to live it, trying to be it, trying to breathe it, trying to demonstrate it, and then trying to reach the lost in order for them to get it, trying to disciple the found in order for them to grow further in it. That person that's on a fire for the Lord can't get enough of the Lord, and he invites people into that space. He invites accountability into that space. He invites and support into that space because his goal is to please the Lord every single day. And the only way you do that is by inviting people into that space to help you reach that goal. I got nothing for that.
So I want to pick up on that because I think what Dr. Anderson said was so crucial. And here's the thing. Sometimes we can struggle to invite men into that faith, into that space, right? So I'm going to start with you, Ronnie. What do you think are some of the fears or insecurities that tend to hold men back from engaging and not only getting into that space with other men, but fully doing what God have called them to do?
Yeah, I think we're afraid of looking weak. You know, I mean, as men, we're raised in a culture that says it's shameful to cry. Let your emotions kind of come to the front, let things surface that puts you in a vulnerable or even a transparent place. It's just an uncomfortable place. None of us were probably raised where that was okay. Maybe we were told it was okay, but there was something in the shame of it whenever we cried or whenever we felt like we had to come, we had to communicate something that put us in a place that was uncomfortable. I think we're just afraid of weakness because we don't attribute manhood with weakness. And this just brings us back to Christ, who again gives us a counter way of looking at this, where he says weakness is strength, humility, is strength. It's the way of Jesus. And that's what we got to reconnect with. And I think sometimes it's a matter of even, going into our past, figuring out how this has been rooting this out in our lives and letting the Holy Spirit do some softening work in us to allow us to, come to the table with that sense of vulnerability and humility. Super tough, though. Yeah.
Y'all supposed to clap for him. I agree with everything he said about the weakness. I think the flip side of that is the fake manhood. I think if we were honest about not praying as much as we should, not reading our Bible as much as we should, not actually knowing as much as we pretend to know, right? Every man in here pretends to be better than what they are. The unfortunate part about that is you make the man next to you actually think that they're less than what they are. So if we could just be honest with ourselves, right, then the person next to us could be honest with themselves, and then we'd be honest together as a community.
Before you go, Alejandro, shameless plug, you've already heard from Ronnie. Dr. Larry Anderson is closing us out today, guys. I don't know about you, but after those answers, I'm excited. You know what I'm saying? I'm excited to hear Dr. Anderson. Go ahead, Alejandro. Thank you, brother.
I just want to highlight what the Bible calls sin. Sometimes it's sin in our lives that we need to repent. But at the same time, we need to remember that the Lord died for our sins, past, present, and future. That all our sins were crucified and redeemed. And Colossians 2:15 says that all of them were wiped out. And we're not guilty of them. Sometimes our past is holding us back from what we need to do because we still think we are guilty of that. We're not released. We're not freed. And at the same time, pride is something for every man. Pride was the sin that turned an angel into a demon. Pride is something we need to be aware that all of us suffer of. And if you don't acknowledge that, you are serious in danger. Pride is something we need to battle. And we need to be aware of. At the same time, imitate the humble man that Jesus Christ was. And still is. And he's ruling and reigning. And we should look for him.
I think one thing I see in myself, and maybe some of you could identify, we fear God too little and we fear man too much. And we're so consumed with looking cool. We want to look acceptable in our culture, and there's no way you can proclaim Christ to someone who doesn't know him and be cool. You can be winsome and kind, but we fear God too little and we fear others way too much.
Close out with one final question. I'm going to ask you if you could challenge every man in this room with one step of obedience this week, what would it be? And please feel free to expound on that one thing. But if you could challenge one man, Ronnie, I know you already gave us three in your talk, but if you got one more for us, brother, you got one more in the bag. One step, but again, feel free to expound on that one step and why you say that one step.
I got the phone, the microphone. Guys, I think we need to don't confuse what we do with what we are. Sometimes when people ask me or ask you, who are you? We immediately go to what I do. I'm a pastor. I'm an engineer. I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. But I'm asking you who you are. So write something about who you are. It doesn't have to be long, but who you are. For example, I'm the son of Alfredo and Sonia, and that will never change. I'm the father of Rebecca and Benjamin, and that will never change. I'm the husband of Mari B, and I hope that never changes. But I'm a son of God since the year 1986, and that will never change. And I'm a pastor, but that could change. I'm an elder, that could change. But don't confuse what you do with what you really are.
We need your mic, Alejandro.
Thinking about the breakout we just came out of, I would encourage you, be for another man what you would hope for in your own life. Be for another man what you would hope for in your own life. And maybe a practical step you can do this week is if there was another man from your church that's here at this conference, reach out to them sometime in this next week and tell them, how did God speak into your life? What was he revealing there? Because we have to work with one another to bring down some of those walls, and we got to be that for each other.
Man, become preoccupied with Jesus. Look at those areas in your life where you are just merely religious. Let those things surface. Man, be renewed in the person and work and love and beauty of Jesus Christ. Let him fill your heart. Let him fill your thoughts. Let him just be with you as you remain with him and he carries you man, throughout every minute of every day. Return to Jesus every morning.
I wasn't trying to go last. I just was trying to think of something deep. Honestly, I would say, if you could leave with one thing, leave with the true knowledge that God loves you and have accepted you. So learn to love yourself and accept yourself. That's it.
Amen. Amen. Guys, how about a round of applause for all of our panelists?